The scripture today is Matthew 13, 31 to 33, the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the leaven. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." Another parable he spoke to them, "The kingdom of heaven is like a leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal until it was all leavened."
Good morning. As we get started this morning, I want to reiterate a couple things that Rob says. First, I want to remind you about these gleaner cans. These gleaner cans are simply to collect your spare change to give to the Potter's Children's Home. And we've got about 8 of these left on the table on the back, on the left as you head out. And I would challenge us to get 8 people to take those today. And just for the next couple months, just put some loose change in there to go to support that Children's Home. We've got 200 or so people here today. We've got 8 of those left. I'm confident that we've got 8 people here who have some loose change that they don't need. So I would like to challenge you for that. We're in the middle of an exciting time in our congregation. We're coming off of a great summer with great weeks of camp, great weeks of vacation, Bible school, and we're rolling full speed ahead into a new year. We've kind of come off of a bit of a tumultuous year, but we are ready for God to work among us and to work through us and to work around us. And we've got some exciting things coming up. Like Rob said, we are going to be starting the process of seeking to appoint some new deacons here in just a few weeks. And so be praying about that. We've got a great group of deacons right now who do all kinds of behind-the-scenes work that most people don't know about, doesn't even know happens. Things like making sure the building is taken care of and making sure our education program is focused as it needs to be and making sure people with needs are taken care of. And there are 1,000 other things. And so as we seek to add new men to serve in that regard, be praying about that. Because it's an important step for our congregation as we continue to look ahead, as we continue to seek to grow. And we're going to be talking about some ways that we can maybe enhance our Bible classes and ways that we can enhance our worship so that we can make best use of our time and our energy and our talents and our treasures to bless each other and to bless this church and to bless this community. And it's a really exciting time. And we continue to pray about a new building potentially. And yet we continue to work as hard as we can here where God has blessed us and right where we are. And so for the last couple weeks, we've been kind of talking about some topics, which are a little bit different than what we normally do. Some topics that I've prayed would help kind of catapult us into God's future for us. We started 2 weeks ago by talking about the fact that we are better together. We are stronger. We are better. We are more focused, more energized when we are together than when we try to do things on our own. Like those folks who were able to push a subway train off of its tracks to rescue the man who was stuck underneath it. We are better, stronger, and more focused when we are united together. And we talked last week about the need to deepen our personal and communal spiritual lives. This idea of doing life with God, of being empowered by the Holy Spirit, from living from the deep center of our being where we can live free from anxiety, free from worry, where we can have a hunger for God, where we don't ask, what's the minimum I have to do? But we ask, how close can I get to God? And we don't ask, how close can I get to sin? But we ask, how can I satisfy this deep hunger in my soul for God? And today, I want us to talk about the pursuit of missional engagement. And so we'll talk about what that means, but let's ask God's help for us this morning. Father, we pray that as we study and as we open your scriptures together, that you would guide us and that you would lead us. Father, we pray that you would give us help as we try to wrestle with your scriptures, we try to wrestle with where we are in this world and what you've called us to as your followers. Father, we pray that you'd give us open hearts to your word, that you would give us open eyes to see and open ears to hear. And Father, we ask, as we do every time we come before your word, that you would give us the strength we need to move where we need to move. And that you would give us the boldness to stand where we need to stand. that you would give us grace as we need to extend it to other people. And Father, we pray that you would give us your mercy as we so desperately need it when we fall short. Father, we thank you, we love you, we praise you through Jesus' name. Amen. So this idea of the pursuit of missional engagement in many ways is the end game, is the goal of what we've talked about for the past several weeks. We want to be people, we want to be a church who is marked by our togetherness, by our unity together. And we want to be people, and we want to be a church that's marked by our deep spiritual lives as we pursue God together. And we want to be a church that is marked by an active missional engagement. So what's this phrase, this word, missional, mean? We've talked about this a little bit before. It's actually not a real word. You probably won't find it in the dictionary, but it helps us understand part of what it means to be a follower of God, part of what it means to be a church. And so the first thing that missional means partnering with God. Partnering with God and God's mission in the world. We believe that our God is an active God, that he is not just retreated up into the clouds and removed himself from our lives, but that God is active and at work in our world. And there's a passage in Colossians chapter 1 that I think gives us an amazing picture of what that mission is, what that activity is in the world. And in Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 19, it says, "For in Christ the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Christ to reconcile to himself all things, whether in heaven or on earth, making peace by the blood of his cross." And if we were to boil it down to one phrase, to one verse, what God is doing in the world, what God's purpose, what God's mission is, it would be this, that through Christ, God is seeking to bring a lost world back to him, that God is seeking to reconcile all things to himself, and he's doing that through Jesus, that through the blood of the cross, God is restoring that peace, the harmony, the shalom, is the good Hebrew word, through the cross. And part of what it means to partner with God is to partner with God to reconcile all things to him, to restore a broken world's relationship with a loving creator. There's another passage in Matthew 28 that gives us a picture of what this kind of missional life, this missional idea is all about. It's at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, after Jesus has been crucified, after he has been resurrected, he has one last conversation with his followers. And he says to them that all authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. So go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This is what we call the Great Commission. We're at the end of his ministry, the end of his life, the end of his time on earth. Jesus says, I want you to go. I want you to go make disciples. I want you to go teach people everything I have taught you. I want you to make people that look like me. I want you to use the words from Colossians 1 to reconcile all things back to God by teaching them about me, by teaching them what it means to follow Jesus, to love as Jesus loved, to pray as Jesus prayed, to serve as Jesus served, to honor God and glorify God as Jesus honored and glorified God. And that through this training, through this discipleship, through this teaching about Jesus, we partner with God to help restore the world's relationship with a creator. And there's one author who says that it's not so much that the church has a mission, but rather it's that God's mission has a church. God is actively working to bring all things back to him through Jesus. And that's our mission too. That's what we are about as a people, as followers of God, as disciples of Jesus. Part of our identity is that we seek to partner with God in the work that God is doing. Number two, Missional engagement means engaging with humility. And I like this word engagement because it's a little bit different than the phrase we often use, which is outreach. I like engagement because it reminds us to be humble. It reminds us to be attentive. It reminds us to listen. It reminds us to pay attention to the people that are in front of us. See, missional is not the religious peddlers who come knocking on your doors with an agenda who refuse to listen to anything you've ever said or anything you have to say. I remember when I was about 15 years old, I had just gotten baptized. It was probably 3 weeks into my walk with Jesus. And some missionaries from some religious group came around our neighborhood. I was out washing my parents' car. And so I saw them walking around and decided to go grab my Bible and just kind of keep it there. And they came and said, we want to talk to you about Jesus. And I said, sure, I would love to talk about Jesus. I didn't know hardly anything about the Bible. I didn't know where anything was, but I knew that's where we needed to be grounded. And so we started to have this conversation about Jesus, and we'd be looking at different passages. And I'd say, I get what you're saying, but what about what it says right here in verse 13? Like, what about this passage? What about what's it say here? And they didn't listen at all. You probably had an experience like this before, where they had an agenda and paid no attention to what you said at all, only in as much as they could use it for their agenda. Just like the vacuum cleaner salesperson who will come knocking on your door. They come with an agenda. And that's not what being missional means. Being missional means listening and paying attention to the person you're having a conversation with. Not sitting on some seat of self-righteousness. Not pretending like we have all the answers or everything together in our lives. But pursuing God together. I had an experience a few days or a couple weeks ago that was just a really striking experience for me. I was at OVMC Hospital visiting some folks there and then headed on over to the Center Market. And I had my camera with me. I like to take photos. And there was an interesting looking guy sitting on a bench out in front of this coffee shop. And I decided to walk up to him and ask him if I could take his picture because he looked interesting and I thought it would be cool and struck up this conversation with him. He was a man who had all kinds of ideas and all kinds of opinions, some of which I thought were pretty good, some of which I thought were kind of crazy. We ended up talking for an hour and a half about all kinds of these different things. And as we ended that conversation, as we got ready to go our separate ways, he gave me a business card and said, we should get together for dinner sometime and continue to talk about these things. He said, because I listened. I didn't have anything brilliant to say. I didn't have all kinds of answers or all kinds of arguments, but he wanted to continue to talk about these things, about spiritual things, because I listened. When we listen, it can make a huge impact on people. So it's the idea of engaging with humility, not peddling our own ideas, but pursuing God together. And missional is countercultural. It's countercultural because it's not consumeristic. We live in a consumeristic world where everything is about me, and sometimes that can work its way into church life, where we begin to think that everything is about me, that I am the most important thing in the world, that the universe revolves around me, that I am the biggest circle, I'm what matters most. I need to make sure my needs are met, I need to make sure that I'm happy, that I'm comfortable. And then maybe we begin to consider what we can do for the church. We consider what we can do to serve the church. And then maybe we think about the world. But primarily, this idea of a consumeristic church is all about me, all about what I can get, all about what I can do, how I can be happy. But in missional church, this paradigm is reversed, where we begin to see ourselves as existing for the sake of the church, and the church existing for the sake of the world. What that means is that we'll be willing to sacrifice our comfort, and we'll be willing to sacrifice even our preferences on things that our opinion matters, so that we might share the gospel with as many people as possible. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but soccer has become an increasingly popular sport. And I don't know about you, I don't particularly like soccer. No offense to Tori or those of you who play soccer, but it's just not my sport. I think it's kind of boring to watch. I think it's kind of boring to play it, to kick this little checkered ball around a field where a high-scoring game is 3-2. But soccer is really popular. I would rather put pads on and play a game of football or watch a game of football. But I had a group of friends who wanted to get together and do something on a regular basis, and they decided they wanted to get together to play soccer. I don't like soccer. Soccer's hard because you have to run a lot. Soccer is just not enjoyable to me. But because I believe that I exist for the sake of the church, and the church exists for the sake of the world, I was willing to play soccer, even though it was kind of miserable at times, as I got that like aching side stitch and had to crawl on the ground because I was so out of shape. Did that for the sake of engaging with these people, of building those relationships. I didn't like it. It wasn't comfortable. I didn't enjoy it. But that's because life's not about me. And there are more important things in my life than my comfort or my preferences or what I think or the way I think things should be. So what I'm saying is, disciples of Jesus, we ought to be willing to sacrifice our comfort. We ought to be willing to sacrifice our preferences for those who are not yet disciples, for those who are close to becoming disciples, for those who maybe even are far from becoming disciples, because we exist for the sake of the church, and the church exists for the sake of the world, that God, through Christ, is reconciling the world to himself. Number four, missional means we are called, and we are gathered, we are centered, and we are sent. So here's what that means. It means that through love, God has called us. He has invited us to be in a relationship with him. And not only does he call you as an individual, God calls us together as a body. Remember what we've been saying, we are in this together. So we are called as individuals, but we are gathered as a people. And when we are gathered here, we don't come just to laugh or just to have fun. Those things are important. We are gathered so that we can be centered in our relationship with God, that through prayer and through worship and through scripture and through communion and through giving, we are centered and rooted in our relationship with God. But that doesn't stop. That's not where it ends. Then we are sent out into a world to partner with God, to reconcile all things to him. This is kind of a picture of what being missional means. But the question I want us to consider for the next few minutes is, how do we do it? That's what it means. How do we do that practically in our lives? And I think Matthew chapter 14 has a story that sheds light on that for us, that has some implications for us. So in Matthew chapter 14, starting in verse 13, the story goes like this. It says, when Jesus had heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. And when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. Now, when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, this is a desolate place, and the day is now over. So send the crowds away and have them go into the villages and buy food for themselves. But Jesus says, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. And they said to him, we only have 5 loaves of bread here and we have 2 fish. And Jesus says, bring them here to me. Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. And taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. And then he broke the loaves and he gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and they were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. And those who were there were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is one of those epic scenes in Scripture that we know about, even if we don't know the Bible very well. Jesus draws away from the crowds, but the crowds follow after Jesus. And so he has compassion on them and teaches them for hours upon hours. until the stomachs start to grumble and people can start to hear it. And the disciples say, just send him away, get him out of our hair so they can go get some food somewhere else. Let him go to McDonald's or something. And Jesus says, you give them something to eat. But they only had some crumbs. They only had a couple pieces of fish, not enough for 5,000 plus people. Then Jesus says something profound. He says, bring them to me. And then all of a sudden, there was a lot more than a couple pieces of bread and a couple pieces of fish. See, when we bring the broken fragments of our lives, and we bring our feeble everyday efforts to God, God can do something powerful with them. There's one author who said, not all of us can do great things, but we can do small things with great love. And the fact is, little things make a big difference in our lives. I don't know if you're familiar with ALS, with Lou Gehrig's disease, but if you weren't aware of it before a couple weeks ago, chances are pretty good that you're aware of it now. Because there have been this fascinating phenomenon online that people call the Ice Bucket Challenge. And whatever you think of the cause, whatever you think of the research that goes into it, it's a crazy phenomenon. That people all over the country are dumping buckets of ice on themselves to raise awareness for this disease, to raise money to fight this disease. And in the last few weeks, because someone decided to dump some water on their head and challenge other people to do the same, this group has raised $62 million in the course of just a few weeks, compared to about $2 million that they raised during the same time last year. 1.2 million people have gotten involved with this cause. And again, it doesn't matter what you think of the cause or what you think of the research. It all started with a man named Pete Freights, who was a former Boston College baseball captain who has ALS, started this whole thing by just posting a little video on Facebook that has now raised 60-some million dollars and counting. Powerful movements get started by simple things, by everyday people. This is what Jesus meant in the parable of the mustard seed. When we bring our feeble faith and our feeble action to God, God does something with it. And this is what missional living is all about. It's about the little everyday things that we can do in our lives. It's about living life so that in the normal rhythms of our life, we seek to pursue and meet and engage new people so that we can maybe share the gospel with them. We pay attention to people that might be open to respond to the gospel. Places where God is beginning to work means we look to proclaim the gospel in what we do and in what we say. And so I want to share just a quick list of several different ways that we could potentially live this out in our lives. And these aren't going to be on the screen because there are a lot of them. And I don't want you to try to write all of these down or try to do all of these, but maybe one or two of these will help you live into this missional calling that we have. And none of these are original to me. These are all just kind of a list I've accumulated over the years. So you can let people around you know you're a Christian in a natural, unforced way. Not in a holier-than-thou kind of way, but just in a natural, unforced way, let people know you're a Christian. Or you can ask friends about their faith and just listen as they talk. Or you can share your problems with other people and testify how your faith helps you. So not complaining about it, not griping about 1,000 different things, but just admitting that you have your problems too, that you're not a perfect person, that you're not a perfect Christian, and sharing how your faith helps you. Or you could listen to your friend's problems and offer to pray for them. Just simply say, I'm going to be praying later. How can I pray for you? or give them a book to read that's been helpful for you, or just tell them some of your story, or be ready to answer some objections and questions about faith, or invite them to church, or invite them to a Bible study at your house, or invite them to read the Bible with you. Or maybe you can walk your dog around your neighborhood at the same time so that you can kind of develop some consistency of conversations. Or maybe invite your neighbors over for dinner or have a game night at your house where you play some yard games outside or you have some board games inside. Or if you like to watch sports, have a party where you invite your neighbors over to watch the sports game. Or maybe have some coffee and dessert at your house. Or instead of eating lunch alone, maybe you could eat with some of your coworkers and learn their story. Or maybe you can get to work early so you can pray for your coworkers and pray for the day. Or maybe you can bring breakfast to your dessert. I recommend that. I recommend bringing dessert to your breakfast. Maybe bring donuts to your work. Or maybe like organic gluten-free muffins if that's more your style. Or maybe you can just make a simple effort to avoid gossip in your office or in your department or in your workplace. There are 1,000 things that aren't big, that aren't hard, that aren't challenging, where we can begin to open doors so that people might be reconciled to God. And that's what this is all about. It's all about us being reconciled to God and bringing others along with us. The world we live in is so messed up. There is so much pain and there is so much hurt. There are so many people who are so far from God, who so desperately need to know the love and grace that we hold so dearly. And this idea of missional living is simply about sharing what we have been given. This relationship that is so important to us, our salvation in Christ, it's about doing whatever we can to share that with other people. And we do it by bringing our small, everyday things to Jesus and letting Him do something powerful with it. As we close this morning, we extend an invitation for you to be reconciled to God if you've never made that decision before. We extend an invitation for you if you are struggling to invite other people into this relationship with God. And you need strength, you need courage, you need boldness, and we can pray with you to help you. That's what we're here for. Or today, if you are here and you're struggling and you just need someone to pray with you, we would love to pray with you this morning. So if you have a need, would you come as we all stand and ask?